Welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat as Pastor Brent Kuhlman and myself, Pastor Scott Porath, well, we take a look at what we're going to call Apostolic Preaching 101.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Fascinating. Well, Apostolic Preaching. I wonder where they're going to go in Scripture for that.
Well, we don't have to look very hard.
No. Acts chapter 2, folks, is where we're going to at least begin today. And here we have the Apostle Peter preaching a mighty sermon and much for us to learn.
And we're only going to cover a bit of it.
Yeah.
I mean, good grief, the whole chapter.
We're just taking slices of it.
Yeah, I mean, people thought in the first part that Peter was drunk when they started preaching.
Yeah, this is the great Pentecost sermon. Yeah. And boy, that preaching sure was foolishness.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. That's what people thought. I'm glad you pointed it out, Scott, because that's what Paul says, that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Peter's sermon appears to be quite foolish as well, and yet it does. It's very efficacious. Now I want to make a point here, just off the cuff, as I'm bad of doing bad habits. But it's interesting that early Lutheranism, with Melanchthon, in 1521, he talks about what apostolic preaching is, or what preaching is all about. It's preaching the cross. It's preaching Christ crucified and risen for the salvation of the world. That's a new kind of preaching. And that was huge at that time because, you see, that kind of preaching says that Jesus died for you, rose for you, your sins are forgiven. Game over. In other words,
It takes the ball right out of your hand.
Exactly. And since you used the sports analogy, let's run with it. See, in the medieval church, and even in many of the churches of this day, including Protestant Roman Catholic, salvation is you have to be in the game. You've got to have some stake in the game. And what the Reformers learned, Luther, Melanchthon, etc., is that in the game called salvation, you get put on the bench. Jesus is the star player, and he does the entire game, wins it, and you sit on the bench the whole time.
You just got to sit there and take it.
Exactly. But see, that's the foolishness of it. That's part of it. It's not all of it. But that, just using that analogy.
Well, foolishness, and think about that, Brent. It just goes against the grain, doesn't it? It goes against the way that we are wired as fallen, sinful human beings.
Yeah.
This idea of grace, of substitute, of what? It is finished. And game over.
And it's interesting that in this context, in Acts 2, with the day of Pentecost, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, that Peter preaches Christ. Well, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? Because Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16, look, I'm going to give you the Spirit. The Father's going to send the Spirit in my name, and he's going to bear witness to me. And he's going to reveal everything that I told you.
Also, the shy God's not going to spend time talking about himself.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is going to talk about Jesus. So when Peter preaches, and it's Holy Spirit-filled preaching, he proclaims a Christ crucified. But what's interesting is, here's part of the scandal too in Acts 2, is he says, you people killed him.
Oh yeah, he doesn't pull any punches, does he?
No. You killed him. Wait a minute. And by the way, he's talking to all of us when he preaches that sermon. You know, Scott, if you and I were there at Calvary, in fact, we were. But if we could actually do it like the way I'm going to say it, we would have told the centurion soldiers, give me that hammer. Give it to me. You're not hitting him hard enough.
Move over.
That's right. Or if when they were flogging him, we'd say, you give me that whip. I'll show you how to use that thing. And then when the people are passing by and mocking him and hurling insults, my word, we'd have been right there doing it.
See, now, Brent, I think most of our listeners are just saying, what in the world is he talking? I would never do that. And yet, what does Scripture say? That we are enemies of God.
Exactly.
This is our lot as sinners. We stand opposed to God.
And Peter pushes that to the hilt so that they'll run to the God of the gospel, namely the God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, who died for them, who said, Father, forgive them.
So apostolic preaching is one, the honest truth.
Right.
It's a preaching of the law. It is a condemnation of all mankind.
Yes, that's right.
But that's not all of it. There's much more.
No, that's right.
It is a foolishness, and it's as you mentioned, you know, it's not just Peter, it's Paul as well. This is apostolic preaching. Yeah, this is the preaching of Christ's church.
So Acts, with part of the assigned reading for this Sunday, third Sunday in Easter, isn't it? Third Sunday of Easter, Acts 2, starting verse 36, where Peter says, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this." All Israel, he's going to leave none of them out. "God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Lord means God. Christ means Messiah. That's the title. Messiah. Mashiach.
In other words, there's no other Savior than this one.
Than that man, Jesus Christ.
Than that man. See, a crucified one.
If there is no other God than that man crucified at Calvary.
If you say you didn't crucify Christ, then you have not the Christ.
Exactly. And that's good preaching. Good preaching. To, as Paul says, that the law reveals our sin. Shows us who we really are. We're rotten to the core.
Cuts to the heart. Lays bare.
So that we'll be quiet. Like, remember, I'm quoting Paul again in Romans 3. So that you'll shut up and listen. Quit making excuses. Just shut up.
But I'm so good at making excuses, Brett.
Yeah, we want to justify what we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... And God, through his preaching of the law through Peter, says, no, just be quiet.
It's hard standing in the light of God's word.
Well, that has to happen.
It reveals and exposes us for who we are.
And it does more. It kills you. The old Adam and the old Eve must die. They must die. That's how God does it.
And that's the last thing we want to do.
Isaiah prophesied about this, that God kills in order to raise up, to give life again.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, okay, here in Acts 2, 36, you read 36, 37... "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart."
Notice his preaching did that. And that is Holy Spirit-filled preaching when Peter says those words. "Let all Israel know this, that the Jesus you crucified, God has made Lord and Christ." That's what cuts them. See, it's God now through his word. He is now leading these people. He repents them.
Earlier, Brent, you used the language, it's efficacious. That's what you're talking about here. It's effective. His word does what it says.
Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah 55.
"The word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me void."
Yep, he's going to accomplish
the purpose for which it was sent.
See, you Lutherans, you can do that all the time. Just finish it right off the... I don't even get a finish and you start, you end it.
Well,
I love it.
I'm decent at paraphrasing.
I love it. I love it. But yeah, the word of the Lord has had its way with these people and it has repented them.
Yeah.
They are cut to the heart.
Killed.
Notice the people didn't turn on the repentance switch. Say, well, I think I'll repent now. No, it's the word that did it.
I'm going to work real hard and I'm going to motivate myself and conjure up some repentance from within. No, it's an external act, isn't it?
So apostolic preaching 101 right there. Right there. That's a huge lesson. So enough of the endless stories, the tearjerker stories and sermons. Enough of, I mean, I don't know how many pastors do this. I don't. And I'm sick of it when I hear it, but they must waste how many hours during the week on the internet or reading the newspapers looking for some kind of illustration so that they can have a sermon. Let the text be your sermon, for crying out loud. Now, don't misunderstand me. You can use illustrations, and I'm all for them. But what I'm seeing in the church today is, okay, I've got an idea in my head. Now I need an illustration for this, and then I'll go to the text.
You know, Brent, as a young pastor... this was something that I struggled with. I'd come up with an illustration and almost look at how I could adapt the text
to the illustration.
To fit my illustration.
It's naughty.
Shameful.
Yeah, it's naughty. You lots to repent of.
I have much to repent of.
Well, join the club.
Yeah.
Join the club.
Drive the stake really deep into the heart.
You know, and there's a reason why, and the tearjerker stories and all this kind of stuff.
Skyscraper stories, one story upon another.
Uh-huh. There's a reason for this, and I'm going to speak in general terms. It's because a lot of preachers believe that the sinner has a free will when it comes to salvation. And that's dead wrong, too. Peter doesn't preach this way. He just simply tells the people what he said in the text, and it cuts them to the heart.
Yeah, he's not coercing. He's not encouraging. He's not taking them by the hand. He's killing.
Exactly.
More properly, God the Holy Spirit is killing.
Yeah.
Through Peter's mouth.
And notice they ask him, well, what should we do?
Yeah, is that a law question or a gospel question?
Well, he's going to lead them to gifts.
And then verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to stop there for a second. I know the next sentence goes right along with that. Okay? So, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now, it could be misunderstood. Oh, so I've got to do the repenting. Okay? I've got to kick myself in gear here and repent. But as you have already pointed out, this is God's working in you. He repents you.
He's calling them to faith, which is life.
Mm-hmm.
So when Peter says repent, it is a call. Like when Jesus did it in Mark 1. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. So Peter's doing the same thing. So when he says repent, he is saying, believe what I've just told you.
I think we've heard this sermon before, haven't we?
What do you mean?
Well, I think it's John the Baptist preached it, Jesus preached it, and now the apostles preach it. So apostolic preaching, which is the preaching in the church today, is a preaching of repentance.
Right.
Faith.
Right. And see, everybody hears this word as the naughtiest word you could ever say. I'm seriously, test me out. Just pay attention if a pastor ever asks someone to repent and they leave.
How dare you?
Yeah, it's the naughtiest word you could say. Or
how dare you tell me to believe in Jesus? Well, that's not what they say, is
exactly.
it?
Exactly. But the heart of repentance is that. And the other question is, just a side note here, is that when you preachers say repent to your congregation, what do you mean? Is it the same thing that Peter means? Jesus, the Old Testament prophets, etc. But this is a call to faith. It is a call to new life, and the word does this. Notice then.
And notice what it's hooked with.
Baptism.
Yeah, being baptized.
And it's a passive.
Passive.
Passive. Let it be done to you. And every one of you. So Jesus won your salvation. Now he's going to dish out the benefits of it here in baptism, because he says, look, you be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you're going to get two benefits: forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Salvation, in other words.
Yeah. And what is that baptism? It is a putting to death and a raising to life.
Yeah,
this is God's doing, his work. It's not the believer's baptism, where you take baptism by the ears and you steer it and make it do what you want it to. No, this is God's working in you.
Exactly. Putting the old Adam to death, raising up the new man called faith. And notice he says every one of you. Doesn't leave anybody out. See, Jesus died for everybody, and baptism is for everybody.
Well, and think about who was gathered there for this Pentecost sermon. And you pointed out earlier, now it's not just for that crowd gathered there that day, but look at that crowd. Remember, there were Jews from all over the place gathered there, along with Gentiles.
Yeah, yeah.
Every one of you.
Yeah.
No one left out.
So, interesting benefits. Forgiveness of, you'll get the forgiveness of sins, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's shorthand for salvation. If your sins are forgiven, you've been given the Holy Spirit, you're saved. And then he says, now look, this promise that I just made to you, it's for you. For you talk is gift talk. Here, this is for you.
Sounds like Lord's Supper language, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
My body, my blood, for you.
Yeah. Or when you give your wife a gift on her birthday, you say, here, honey, this is for you. And so Peter says, this promise is for you. And then he says, for your children and for all who are far off.
Far off. All who are far,
that's
far
me.
Off from God.
That's me.
Right?
Yeah.
Cut off from God because of our sin.
Yeah.
Expelled from the garden like Father Adam and Mother Eve.
So apostolic preaching. Law, gospel. Law that kills, gospel that raises up. That's what Peter does. That's what all the apostles do. That's what pastors in the church should be doing. That is apostolic preaching. It's amazing. Happy listening to it.
Amen.